Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We have a double dip of Disney television to spotlight this Monday. Off the bat, we'll deal with Prom Pact, Disney Channel's new rom-com flick arriving there Thursday night. Writer Anthony Lombardo joins me next. 90 minutes later, we'll catch up with Courtney Kang, the creator and executive producer of Doogie Kamaloha, MD, back for Season 2 on Disney Plus Friday. In between, get the full record on the new Spin TV Outpost from Best Ever Channels. The details will spin from Best Ever Show Chief Executive Jonathan Bravado. And tonight, TBS opens the 18th season of American Dad. At the top of the next hour, we will have a live internet radio same-day exclusive with co-creator and executive producer Matt Weissman. Also ahead, Peacock has a case of shooting stars and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker and Syndicated Radio. I present on Spotify, Odyssey, and the iRadio Podcast Network and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on a big Monday afternoon edition of the program about TV's current and future. 2 great hours in store for you. It's 55 degrees at the top of the hour. It was sunny all day today. The skies in the New York metro area has turned gray. We are expecting showers tonight into overnight and then early tomorrow morning. And the rest of the week is supposed to be absolutely gorgeous. In fact, the prediction now for April Fool's Day on Saturday, 68 to 70 degrees. No fooling. Happy you're here. Get involved in the program. How? Give us a phone call. And the number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. You can also get involved with our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune, Screen. Follow the instructions of being live with you. Prom Pact writer Anthony Lombardo live with us from Glendale, California, after these news notes. Peacock will be offering an original movie about NBA superstar LeBron James' pre-NBA accomplishments. The film is Shooting Stars, adapted from the book James co-wrote with Friday Night Lights author Buzz Bissinger. Actual high school round ball star Marquise Mookie Cook plays James, a member of the top high school team in the nation. What's more, Cook and Bronny James, that's LeBron's son, will play together tomorrow night at the McDonald's All-American Boys game carried on ESPN. A 30-second message for Shooting Stars will run during ESPN's presentation. The movie will premiere on Peacock June 2nd. Now, quickies. Walt Disney's effort to drop 7,000 employees from its organization will happen in 3 stages. Stage 1 happens this week, followed by Stage 2 next month, and a final round of layoffs in June. That's a memo that was issued this morning by Disney chief executive Bob Iger. Jessica Chastain's next TV miniseries effort will be The Savant for Apple TV+. Chastain will play the title role and executive produce the 8-episode production, inspired by a true story published by Cosmopolitan magazine. 100-Foot Wave will be back on HBO for its second season, April 16th. AMC's call on submitting new Bob Odenkirk starring series Lucky Hank opened to great reviews. For Emmy nominations, we're out to play in the comedy series, not the drama series, the comedy series categories. Another AMC item, Dead City, the next Walking Dead offshoot adventure, premieres June 18th on AMC and AMC+. A new Netflix Western saga, The Abandoned, has found its leading woman, Game of Thrones co-star and multiple Emmy nominee Lena Headey. Joint Sons of Anarchy creator Kurt Sutter developed the series and will serve as its showrunner. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Glendale, California, and near exclusive, the writer of the upcoming Disney Channel movie Prom Pact that premieres there on Thursday night and then the next day on Disney Plus, Anthony Lombardo. Anthony, happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. So you're 4 days away from your movie going on Disney Channel. What's going through your mind right now?
Well, a lot of excitement. We had our premiere on Friday night, and that was the first time I got to watch it with a large group of people like that, and it was a very thrilling experience for me. So I'm very excited for everyone to get to see it.
Why do you term it thrilling?
Why did I think it was thrilling?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, because I have never gotten to – I mean, I've, of course, had other credits and other work that I've watched with people, but never in a room with, hundreds of people before. Just to see them laugh at the jokes, gasp at the right times, applaud spontaneously, it was, for me, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the road you've had in television leading up to doing Prom Pact?
Yes, of course. Well, I am from Georgia. I went to the University of Georgia, and my last semester of my senior year, I got very lucky and got an internship on the first season of Modern Family. And so from there, they hired me on season two. I got a graduation card in the mail offering me a job, which was very exciting. So I was an office PA, then I was a writer's PA, then I was a producer's assistant, then a writer's assistant, and I was there for many years and got to learn from just the dream team of comedy writers. Being in that room shaped me more than I think any of them will know. It was very, very impressive and very educational for me. So from there, I went to a show called American Housewife, and I got staffed on their second season, which was an incredible run for me. So we were there 4 years, and then after that, we sold Prom Pact.
Mm-hmm. So this is your first effort at an original movie. What inspired it?
It's two things. One, my wife and I were watching some, rom-coms, as a couple of does, on their date nights at home, and I was like, this looks a lot of fun. I feel like I want to do this. So I just needed something, though. I needed a hook. I was like, has anything happened to me? And in my real life in high school, my best friend and I, we made a pact to go to prom together our senior year. And much like this movie, it did not go as planned. So that was the seed of the idea, and that's where it grew from.
So how much of this movie is your experience with A, making a prom pact, and B, making sure you carried it out?
There is a bit of it in there. I will say there's a bit of it. I don't want to give anything away from the movie, but there is a bit of two best friends making a pact to go together, and then it does not go seamlessly, where they are just two people who are going to go together, and there's no complications along the way. And that is very similar to my experience, because my friend and I, we both had other options, and we both looked at them. So it stemmed from that, yes.
Well, speaking of experiences, the experience you got on Modern Family, which now people consider an iconic classic of television situation comedy and a groundbreaker in that field, what did you learn of that experience that you're applying to this experience, which is the first time you've ever attempted a made-for-TV movie?
Yes, I mean, so much. I there's too much to even say in this. You can give me a full 2 hours, but I'll try to be as succinct as possible. The number one thing I took, Chris Lloyd, one of the co-creators of Modern Family, he had on the whiteboard in the writer's room, endings make stories. And so that is something I really thought about as I write this and anything I do. Endings make stories. You want to leave the audience feeling satisfied and happy and also a little bit surprised. So that is something I really focused on and something I really took away from Modern Family.
Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, is in our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard this Monday afternoon, Rick. If you have a question, either put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Did you see a lot of romantic comedies either made for TV or made for film before you took this on? And if so, were there things you wanted to make sure that you wanted to have in as elements and things you wanted to totally avoid? I'm not going there.
Well, I definitely saw a lot of them, and I grew up in the late 90s, early aughts was my formative year, so I grew up with the 10 Things I Hate About Jews, the Mean Girls, the She's All That, and those are classics to me at least, so I definitely try and be like them. But one thing I wanted to avoid, maybe not avoid, but one thing I wanted to make sure of is that all the characters felt like real people and not just stereotypes that we were just, putting in there. I wanted them to all have full lives. So even our side characters who aren't with the whole time, they have things going on in their life to make sure they are fully realized people. So that was something I really wanted to make sure to do.
Prom Pact is the new Disney Channel original movie, and it premieres there on Thursday night. And Thursday night takes place at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, and then the next day it goes on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We've got the writer of Prom Pact, his first effort in the made-for-TV movie genre, Anthony Lombardo. He joins us live from Glendale, California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from the other side of the US of A, that's New York, where it's 55 degrees at the top of the hour, a lot of gray and clouds popping up here in the metro area. Happy weather. We're just getting started. It's a big 2-hour edition for you. In case you just joined us, We've got coming up in our second hour an exclusive internet radio same day exclusive interview with Matt Weissman, the co-creator and executive producer of American Dad with Seth MacFarlane, which tonight starts its 18th season, 10 p.m. East Pacific time on TBS. And right after that, we've got Courtney Kang. She is the creator and executive producer of Dewey Kamalahola, M.D., starring Payne Lee, who, by the way, stars in Prom Pack. That program premieres its second season this Friday on Disney+. And if you have a question or comment for Anthony and our other guests, too, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we're bringing this week to wrap up March here on Smarty Televised. We got a nice one coming your way on Thursday, and our lead guest is someone very special. The person that put Whose Line Is It Anyway on the map, first in England and then the United States. His name is Dan Patterson. He's got a brand new series premiering later this week on the CW. It's called The Great American Joke Off. And it will premiere the same hour that what is believed to be the premiere of the final season of Whose Line on the CW. Dan Patterson, live with us exclusively as our lead guest Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. So, Andy, let's get into the plot line of Prom Pack. Tell us about the film and what's it all about.
Absolutely. Well, the film centers on Mandy Yang. She is a very ambitious, very feminist high school senior who is very much over high school. Her entire goal, her dream, is to get to Harvard. That is kind of the mecca for her. So she wants to get there, and she is done playing these high school games. But meanwhile, her best friend, Ben Plunkett, he feels like he's been missing out a little bit on the high school experience. So the two of them make a pact that they are going to go to prom together. And, you know, she's fine with that because she knows she's at Harvard coming up. She gets waitlisted, and the only way she can get off the waitlist in her mind is to get a letter of recommendation from a high-profile alum who happens to be the most popular boy in school's dad, Graham Lansing. She does not like Graham Lansing. He kind of represents all the white male privilege she disdains, but so she decides to tutor him to try and get that letter from his dad. And from there, rom-com hijinks ensue.
What kind of role did you have in terms of casting and working with the producers? And we'll talk to the producers and directors in a moment because you got some very interesting people, including one of the stars of Modern Family, who is an executive producer on this one, Julie Bowen. So what was the road, first of all, in getting this to Disney Channel?
Well, it was a long, fun road for me because, again, this was my first thing. So when I first had the idea, I brought it to Rachel Field, who I worked with on Modern Family. We both started out as PAs, and she is Julie Bowen's producing partner. So I took it to Rachel, and Rachel really liked the idea, so she said, get me an outline, and we'll get it to Julie. And so from there, I did that, and I wrote up the outline, and Julie had the brilliant idea of, let's make the prom theme, which prom obviously plays a big role in this movie, the prom theme 80s movies, because she felt like this is a very nice homage to 80s movies. And so we did that, and that really just blew the whole thing wide open for all of us. We got very excited about that. And then from there, we pitched as a movie several places with Disney Plus buying it. But at first, they wanted it as a TV show. So we did the whole thing as a TV show. And then when that did not move forward, we decided, okay, we know the story of the movie. Let's write the movie. Let me write the movie. So I went and wrote the movie, and we took it back out. And thankfully, Disney Plus got very excited about it once they saw the script. It got to Melvin Marr, one of our other EPs, and he brought Peyton Lee on board because they worked with he worked with her on Doogie Kamiloha, rather, along with Courtney Kang, who also came on as a consultant for this movie. She was very vital in the writing process as a sounding board for me because she is very smart and very experienced and also has worked with Peyton. So once all those pieces lined up, Disney Plus was very excited. So that is how we got it to Disney Plus and Disney Channel.
And once again, for those of you just joining us, Courtney Kang will be with us in our final half hour. We're going 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to Pacific today, and Courtney will be on in our final half hour. So we will definitely ask her about her work in addition to Doogie, which starts its second season Friday on Disney+. We'll talk to her about consulting on this movie, which will also be running on Disney+ this Friday as well. What was it like working with Rachel and with Julie on the movie?
I mean, much like Modern Family, like everyone told me like Modern Family is going to be like the best experience in my career because it is like a lightning in a bottle. Everything just worked out so beautifully and perfectly there. And it's all downhill from there is what everyone would always tell us. Young PAs, which, you know, in some ways can be true because it's a long career, but this also was just such a dream to work on with all of the producers, and Rachel and Julie in particular, because they very much let me have creative freedom. They very much felt comfortable with pushing back on things that maybe they didn't want or that they did want, and we could have very open discussions, and it wasn't like anyone was kowtowing to anyone's ego or worried about, you know, stepping on anyone. We have a very good working relationship, so that was very nice to have.
Talk about working with Peyton Lee, who has sort of become, over the last couple of years, one of Disney Channel's main and Disney Plus's main stars, if you will, flagship stars, because of Doogie, because of other things she did earlier that and now this film. What was it like working with her, and how did she sort of realize what you had in mind for that character?
Well, Peyton, I mean, full credit to Melvin Marr for seeing the vision of bringing Peyton on board, because I was, she starred in Andy Mack, I believe, which was a Disney Channel show. And that was, I was the Lizzie McGuire era of Disney Channel shows. So I was not, I did not know her from that show, but then obviously I went back and watched some of it and got to know her. And she has just been amazing to work with. She also is very, very smart. She is not at Harvard. She's at Columbia, another Ivy League. She's a very smart girl and knows exactly what she's doing. And I really enjoyed working with her because there were times when, you know, throughout the notes process, you get lots of notes and you try different things. And she, as a producer on this as well, was very vocal, being like, my character, I don't think would say this or do this, or this kind of gives away where we're going. And she was always spot on. Like, she brought so much emotional depth to the character that, you know, I, coming from comedy, sometimes have a tendency to go toward the comedy route. But she really grounded it and made her so real and so relatable that I think whether you're applying to Harvard or wherever you may want to go, you can relate to this character and her dreams and her ambitions.
Talk about working with some of the other cast members. For example, Milo Manheim and also Blake Draper, who was sort of the two men vying for Peyton's prom attention, as well as Margaret Cho, the wonderful comedian, and at one point a sitcom star too, and Wendy McLendon Covey, who we all recognize for a whole bunch of different comedy and sitcom projects.
Yes, well, I got to sit in on the casting of them. Again, I'm not a producer, I'm the writer of this, so like I got to get a little bit of a bird's eye view and just watch and put my two cents in. But it was great working with all of them, especially Milo and Blake, who I got to know a little bit in the process, because Milo is playing a little bit of a version of me. And it was very funny, even at the premiere, my wife and some other close friends were like, how much time did you spend with him? Because he was getting you spot on. And I was like, I had talked to him on Zooms, but like we had never spent real, we, you know, so I was only on set for a few days, or one day rather, because I was supposed to be on set for a week, but then got shut down because of COVID, as things go. But he did an incredible job. And then Blake was for us such a discovery and revelation. He came in and read the part of Graham. He's Australian, but like he just has this magnetism about him that made us so excited. And we're like, this is Graham. So it was very fun watching them bring the characters to life. As far as Margaret Cho and Wendy McLendon Covey, we were just ecstatic to get them. Like the fact that they shared the vision and, you know, were excited about this project was, for me, a dream. So I was very excited.
Emily Lombardo is our guest this first half hour of a two-hour Tomorrow Be Televised to open up your final week of March 2023. Anthony is the writer of Prom Pack. That's the new Disney Channel original movie that will be running there this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Then the next day will appear on Disney Plus, which will also carry the start of the second season of the series that Peyton Lee is the star in, and that is Doogie Kamahaloha, M.D., whose creator and executive producer, Courtney Kang, will be with us in about less than 90 minutes from now. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Anthony Lombardo, the writer of this wonderful original movie, his first in the genre, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our wonderful superfan from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is already in the room. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll wrap up March in great fashion. We have at least a 90-minute or two-hour show coming your way. And our first hour features a pair of female entrepreneurs. First, we'll have Marcy Hamilton. She is the chief executive officer of Tri-Coast Worldwide. And she already has not one, but two new programming services on the air. One of them just started called Made of Myself TV, which is trying to be the new DIY network. Marcy Hamilton is our lead guest. On the second half hour, we'll talk to the founder of ProfileSport.tv, It's a website, it's a mobile site, and now it's a television service. Her name is Diana Wilson. I think you'll really enjoy meeting her and Marcy Hamilton. That's in our first hour, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You mentioned that you went a number of times to the set to see how things were going. Did you have a chance to go to the set when they filmed the big prom scene?
Unfortunately, no. We were supposed to film it the week I was there, which is going to be very exciting for me and, you know, to relive my my youth. But no, I was not there for the big prom scene. I was there for a big promposal, which was very fun to watch. But no, unfortunately, not the big prom scene. It was very fun because we had, you know, myself and Rachel and Juliet and then Anya Adams, who I also, of course, need to give credit for. She's the director of this. We all had a lot of fun ideas coming up with, you know, the 80s references that we're going to use in these prom and these proposals, as well as the songs we're going to use. And so to see it brought to life in, like, such a big way was very fun for me.
Talk about Anya as a director. I believe this may be her first made-for-TV movie. Anya worked on the wonderful Netflix series Ginny and Georgia, which is fast becoming one of the most popular shows in the young adult genre category. What's her direction like? What do you think of her as a director and talent?
I mean, I think she is a very talented director, and I think you all, I think everyone will agree once they see the movie. What her and our DP brought to life was, it feels like such a, I mean, man, I'm about to quote Harry Styles. I got him dragged on the internet, but such a movie. It feels like a big production, which for me was so exciting, obviously, because it's my first thing. But also, she was great with the actors. She really built a rapport with them where, again, I think it's important for directors to have an open line of communication with the actors, and I think she very much did. Everyone felt very comfortable with her, where they could talk to her, and she was very open to collaboration and communication, which is very vital, especially on a set in the COVID times.
What was it like, by the way, for everybody to deal with the coronavirus pandemic and filming this movie?
I mean, I think as almost any production going through this, you hope for the best and brace for the worst. And, you know, I think there was one or two shutdowns. Again, I was not there the whole filming of the movie, but, you know, we did have to shut down for Corona at one point, but also everyone was very safe. And, you know, if someone tested positive, we dealt with that as, you know, per Disney guidelines and as needed, and everything was on the up and up. But also, you know, just the crowd scenes and things like that had to be, you know, really thought about, really measured, like how many people do we need here and things like that, because we want to keep everyone safe. That's, you know, of the utmost importance.
When you finally saw the prom scene on the screen, what was popping up?
For me, I mean, a lot of memories, and I hope for everyone, they think back to their prom, and, you know, whether it was everything they had imagined, and, you know, they married their high school prom sweetheart, or it was a disaster. I hope it brings back lots of fun memories like it did for me, because, you know, for me, I got throughout the whole movie, not just the prom scene, I got to put in little Easter eggs that I think, I hope my high school friends who watch this will be like, oh, yeah, that's the teacher's name, or, oh, yeah, we used to do that all the time. So it brought up, the whole movie brought up lots of fun little flashbacks for me, too. My time growing up in Georgia.
So where do you go from here? What projects can we look forward to seeing from you down the road?
Well, you know, right now we are working on a Christmas movie with Disney Plus, myself, Rachel, and Julie, and that is I'm taking a break literally right now from writing that to talk to you guys. So that is where most of my attention is at the moment.
Well, this will be one of Disney Plus's first Christmas films. They've done a Christmas series, Santa Claus, with Tim Allen, which is coming back for a second season this holiday season. Can you tell us a little bit about your take on Christmas for Disney Plus?
Yes, I mean, this is just a script right now, but it is, you know, much like Prom Pack is about the power of friendship, this is also a movie about the power of friendship, you know, during Christmas time, of course, and about how, you know, old friends are gold friends. Isn't that the saying? The old friends you have for a long time are ones you should kind of hold on tight to, because you never know where life takes you, but you know they'll always be there for you.
Mm-hmm. And do you think at some point you will create and maybe do your own series?
I mean, I hope so. That's the goal. I mean, yes, I'm always, you know, out there pitching and trying to come up with new ideas. So hopefully from your mouth to executive's ears.
The movie is Prom Pact, and it's the latest from the Disney Channel, and it stars Peyton Lee, who was also the star of Doogie Kamaloha MD, which will go into its second season Friday on Disney Plus. Courtney Kang, the creative executive producer, will join us in about 60 minutes from now. In the meantime, Prom Pack premieres this Thursday on Disney Channel first, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. That's Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and then it will go on Disney Plus on Friday. And for more details about the program online, by the way, remember Disney Channel is available on cable and satellite, so check your local listings for where it is on in your area. And for more details about the service and the film online, go to DisneyChannel.com or DisneyNow.com. That's DisneyChannel.com or DisneyNow.com. Prom Pack, Thursday, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, and then Friday on Disney Plus. Again, Thursday on Disney Channel. Anthony Lombardo, the writer of the film, thanks again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this movie up and running, and hopefully many, many more wonderful projects in television for you in the months and years ahead. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, and a great week. Take care.
Bye now.
Anthony Lombardo, the writer of Prom Pack, Disney Channel, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, Friday on Disney Plus. And once again, the creative executive producer of Doogie Kamealoha MD, which Peyton Lee, the star of Prom Pack, is, of course, the lead in. She will be with us at the bottom of the next hour. So she's been with us about, 60, 65 minutes from now. And we're just getting started with this special two-hour Monday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, the Promo TV's current and future. Happy to have you with us. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 55 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. By the way, in our next half hour, classic trivia segment, we have a brand new winner. We have that over the weekend. We'll give you that winner's name and what they're getting and the correct answer to the question we have been posting over the last week or so. And then we have a brand new question for you. So get your thinking caps on because you could be our next winner. And if you win, you'll win a pair of NBC Universal notepads. You can use any occasion, any time. That's a pair of NBC Universal notepads, and they'll come to you if you know the answer to our next classic trivia question. We'll get that question to you before the top of the hour. And tomorrow, I'll be on Sports News Wire. That is the daily sports news information show, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles like Amazon Freevee. We expect to be talking about the possibility that when Thursday Night Football returns for its second season on Prime Video, the games will be better. How? The NFL is talking with Prime Video about the possibility of flex scheduling, which is what they do with NBC with Sunday Night Football. They may do it for the last four or five games on Thursday Night Football. Will they be able to make it work? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NCAA basketball championships, men and women's tournaments. Final four now set for the men's. Final four will be set by the end of day today or end of night tonight for the women's tournament. And hopefully I have some things to say about how the men's have been going and also about the women's tournament where the championship game will not be in prime time on ESPN. It will be on Sunday afternoon. I believe that is a huge mistake and a big step backward for women's college basketball, for ESPN, and for you, the television viewer. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Sports News Wire. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles like Amazon Freevee. When we come back, Jonathan Barbaro from Best Ever Channels rejoins us. He's got a brand new network to talk about. It premiered last week. It's adapted from Spin Magazine, the popular music magazine, and it premiered last week on Amazon Freevee. Will it get to other network, other multi-channel bundles, smart sets of devices soon? We'll find out when Jonathan Barbaro joins us live from Palm Springs, California, plus classic trivia question segment. Our latest winner, our newest question, all happening after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, Tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio is your home today for Women Who Jam Radio. Check out the latest episode live today at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Women Who Jam Radio today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, that's VTR 24/7. At YouTube.com. Welcome back to half hour number two of Tomorrow Be Televised, big two-hour edition, coming your way this Monday afternoon en vivo from New York. Simon, I'm with you along for the ride. 55 degrees at the bottom of the hour. We're expecting some showers to happen, in the next hour or so. It's been a fine day for the most part. 55 degrees at the bottom of the hour, and we want to hear from you about our guests upcoming this hour. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's a pleasure to welcome back a guest we had for the first time last year. He is the co-chief executive officer of Best Ever Channels. It's an organization that's putting together a lot of very interesting new networks on the board, available on smart set, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. And the latest channel, an adaptation of the famous magazine Spin, all about the world of music. And that service premiered this past week on Amazon Freebie. Joining us live from Palm Springs, California, it is Jonathan Barbaro. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm also here with my co-CEO, Barry Gordon.
Barry,
hey,
welcome
how are
in.
You,
great
Simon.
To have you here, too.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'll tell you what, let's talk with you, Jonathan, first. And Jonathan, first of all, bring us up to date before we get to Spin about how your organization is doing.
Yeah, we're having a great year. I mean, we launched Spin, that we'll talk about that in a minute, but we've also launched the comedy network with The Stand in New York. It's called Wits, and it's on many platforms, coming to many more. It is The Stand is one of the biggest comedy venues in the country, as you probably know. They also represent a lot of comedians, so we've got some original programming there. We've got More You, Commune, and Cinema Libre, three channels committed to conscious media. We have The Grid and Trailers from Hell and Action and Best TV. We've got nine networks all together now, Simon.
That's quite a lot. And what's very interesting is that some of the networks are featuring original content, and some of them are featuring classic stuff, classic movies, classic TV series.
Yep. You know, it's important these days to not just launch content, but to launch content that is going to build an audience and build a brand at the same time. And original content is always going to do a lot better in that category. So we've created situations and channels where we have talent, we have production facilities that have done major programming on TV for a long time, all at our beck and call. And so we're creating original content as well as putting significant library content out there.
Mm-hmm. Barry, let's talk about Spin Magazine and the new service. How long have they and you been thinking about adapting their magazine for television, and what finally made it happen last week?
Well, it's actually been a work in progress and in thought for, goodness, a few years now. There's just a lot of things and moving parts that to get there, but the one thing that everybody knew in having these discussions with Spin is that they do represent for almost, goodness, 40 years now, four decades, the quintessential, editorial voice in music and lifestyle. And, what was going to be on the channel, what we were going to program on it, these were just some of the important things that we had to discuss, both from a merchantability and from an editorial curation standpoint. But we're thrilled. We knew that we wanted to do something special and launch with a large platform that would recognize the value of the brand and, what the long-term, not just the short-term vision was for the channel. And, in candor, Amazon Free, we were extremely supportive. They leaned in super hard and recognized it right from the beginning, and that was really the catalyst to get things moving. And Jonathan, my partner, being such a premier marketeer, he knew that really the best way to launch something is to bring a little bit of show business back into, we don't want just like launching a fast channel. We literally want to launch a brand in an ecosystem that happens to be called a fast ecosystem. So Jonathan worked very closely with the creative folks at Spin, with our partners at Freebie, and figured out a way to hop into a major promotion last week while we were in Austin, or pardon me, the week before, that he should share some of the details, because you just don't see these type of activations for a channel. But when you're launching with someone like Spin, specifically, it's deserving and wonderful that we got that opportunity.
And Jonathan, what Barry was referring to by Austin is South by Southwest, which wrapped up, I believe it's Festival last week. Made a lot of news all over the place for film and technology, television, et cetera, et cetera. What was it like to get the channel off the ground among the people going to Austin for South by Southwest?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, so Spin throws the biggest party at South by Southwest for the music aspect of the show, and it was off the hook. I mean, we had a Killer Mike and Painted Shield and Vox Trot. We had a lot of acts performing to the thousands of people that arrived, and then unplanned was a thunderstorm that sort of invaded our party and threw some of the people away, but we ended up with Killer Mike performing for the first time ever in front of a choir chorus with a choir chorus on stage to, you know, just over 100-150 people that were able to get inside of the venue even after the thunderstorm. It was amazing. It was the talk of the show.
Yeah, what was crazy is that what should have been seen as, you know, the skies opened up right out of a movie, Simon, and the torrential rains came down, and those hit away. Oh goodness, we the headliner can't come on. But what ended up happening is that the storm moved on, and for those very lucky few, there was this incredible performance with Killer Mike indoors with a full choir. And it became the hottest ticket, most talked about event that happened, didn't happen, or happened because something happened at South by Southwest in Austin. So it was amazing to be part of that and being able to really share with our partners and others that, you know, this is something that is another part of the Spin brand. And you know, Spin is able to activate, you know, and work with Beck on lots of much larger things. It allows us to punch much larger above our weight, if you will, on marketing and promotion. And we believe that, you know, a channel like Spin is deserving of that. It's the reason why it took long. We wanted to do it right, you know, a long time to get to market and to the audience, but we want to make certain that we were doing it right.
We're speaking with the co-chief executive officers of Best Ever Channel, and they are Jonathan Barbaro and Barry Gordon. They're both with us live from Glendale, from Palm Springs, California, this half hour on Smartly Televised. And we're going to be focusing more in the next few minutes about their latest service, and that is the new musical, not just music video, musical adaptation on television of Spin Magazine. And if you have a question or comment for both of our guests, make a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we're happy to have you with us for a two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. For those of you just coming in at the bottom of the hour, I want to remind you that we have a two-hour edition coming your way, and our second hour is really big. At the top of the hour, we will have an exclusive same-day interview with Matt Weissman, the co-creator and executive producer of American Dad, that tonight starts its 18th season on TBS. And then at the bottom of the next hour, we have got Courtney Kang, the creator and executive producer of the popular Disney Plus show, that is Doogie Kamaloha, MD. It starts its second season Friday on that multi-channel mega content service. So stay tuned. A lot of great guests coming in the hour ahead, and we want your phone calls and your chat room reaction as well. And coming your way on our next couple editions, we're going to be on Thursday and Friday this week. Coming your way on Thursday, my lead guest will be the man that put Whose Line Is It Anyway on the map, first in Britain, then here in the United States on ABC, and then the CW. His name is Dan Patterson. His latest comedy project is The Great American Joke Off, and it premieres later this week on the CW. Dan Patterson from Whose Line Is It Anyway and The Great American Joke Off. He is our first guest Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, another interview exclusive right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jonathan, talk about the format of this Spin Magazine channel. Anyone who thinks that it's going to be another all music video service is in for quite an awakening.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you know, there's enough places to just go and find video. What we wanted to do was create, what we've done is create a bespoke model for, you know, really to get into playlists, but what artists believe and are excited about as playlists, but then a whole lot more than that. We have original programs. We have one called Free Speech and Other Dirty Words with Ryan Downey hosting, and Tom Morello is a guest in this week's show, I believe, and we've got something called Spin Flicks, where we're talking about or demonstrating, showing movies that, you know, people have a huge fan base around. Movies like, you know, Blitzed, which is, You know, Boy George is the coat check guy, and Bowie is the star, and it just digs into the culture that was alive.
The whole new wave,
Barry. I mean, tell them about some of the other movies that we have. Tell them about the programming.
Yeah, we really wanted to make certain that if you're a music fan, and what's great about Spin is with 40 years, you know, on the planet, if you will, the audience is really, it's a psychographic. You can be, you know, 15 years old and love Spin and be 70 years old and love Spin, and actually for the same reasons. So we wanted to make certain that the curation of the films that are part of SpinFlix and the other content that we're putting on there really has a wide appeal based on what people are going to vibe on, but also recognize that Spin talks about all genres of music and being able to really synthesize what's great. So I'll give you an example. Heavy Metal Parking Lot is a quintessential short film that has influenced so many modern bands and comedy acts and everything. And we program that as part of the Spin channel. And in addition, we'll put a Megadeth live, concert from South America from years ago. And then next, what will come on will be a comedy special, because free comedy is also part of free speech, and free speech is important in an editorial brand. And then after that, the Pixies, Loud, Quiet, Loud is something that's being programmed. So you see that the eclecticism of the branding and the type of films that go in have to pass the Spin editorial desk, if you will. They have to be something that, as a music fan, as somebody who appreciates it, we're also curating for you, because we know there's a lot of new listeners and people that have not necessarily were around the Spin in the 80s, but they've jumped on in the last few years. And we're giving them content that not only resonates with the original lovers of the brand, but the new people that are coming on board. We're just saying, this is the good shit. So that's going to be continued. And as Jonathan said, our playlists aren't going to be just the typical, jukebox musical. Not that those aren't great, but those are well-serviced, out there. The playlists that we're developing and working directly with artists and labels on are going to really be specific, and they're going to be, as Jonathan says, bespoke.
How's the reaction so far? I know it's only less than a week in. Are you getting any feedback from people who are catching the service on Amazon Freevee? And are you also hearing from the rest of the smart TV set bundle device community who want to take the channel?
I'll let Barry get to the smart TV community. And to your point, it's only been a week, but we are trending on Freevee, and we are, listed high and sometimes first in the trending shows for the week. So that tells me that people are watching and, obviously telling other people to watch as well. Barry, you can go ahead and talk about the smart TVs.
Yeah, there's absolutely, putting something out and working with Freevee, who's not only been a great carriage partner, but they're also going to be working with Jonathan very closely on a really significant marketing and promotional program that's going to kick off here in the next couple of few weeks, within the next couple of few weeks. So, I think we're just literally scratching the surface. And the answer is yes. The usual suspects are the majors. They recognize that Spin is just one of those must-have brands if you're doing this and have an ecosystem or a hybrid ecosystem for FAST and for AVOD. It is going to be very quickly become one of the must-have channels. But Jonathan is also working, again, as I said, with Freevee on a really cool and innovative marketing program. And that's one of the great things in working with a company that is both has scale, but is also really entrepreneurial-minded.
One of the things that we're doing and one of the things that I think really makes a channel brand is we're working with artists. We're working with the people that are actually in the content to help us, get the news out there and get the word out there to their fan bases that this is there now. That, when Machine Gun Kelly does a cover story with Spin, it's not just going to be in the magazine and the other venues where Spin is prevalent. It's also now going to be on television. It's going to be on your connected TV set. You know, you're not just going to hear the music, you're also going to hear from the artist himself on social media, on other venues. And so really what we want this to be is a community for musicians, for artists, for fans to, you know, to all basically celebrate the music that they love.
Do either of you see what you're doing with the music industry for Spin perhaps paying off by generating content for some of your other networks? For example, if you find an artist that's doing a musical parody, you could have them on Wits. Or if you have an artist who's African-American, is to bring that content or to create original content for the grid.
I think that's an absolutely perfect question, Simon. And the fact is, you must be sitting in our meetings, and you just haven't shared anything. But that, we're already doing this. We recognize this as a real opportunity in the same way that, not that we're of the scale and scope of Viacom, but you've been around long enough, as Jonathan and I, we, you know, when you used to sell something to Viacom, they would buy a piece of programming and they could play it on MTV, Comedy Central, and BET, VH1. They would take it on the ride. One of the great things about what Jonathan and I have in Beck and the production ability and our ability to have multiple networks that are building distribution profiles very quickly is we absolutely can take content off of each other network. And if it's on brand, provided it's on brand, because that's always crucial, can we go there? Perfect example is the Natalie Cuomo special that we produced for the Wits channel, and our partners at The Stand also released an album of that to The Usual Suspects, which was the number one comedy album in the country in December. And she racked up, goodness, just millions and millions of views through her social media on her own. And because she is certainly on brand for Spin, Spin is not just a place for music, though it is quintessential. The right comedy, you know, is free speech, and it's got a perfect home on Spin as well as on Wits. And that is literally a program that is on right now. Jonathan is working with Natalie's team as well as the Freebie team on maximizing the exposure of the show on the channel. And you're going to start to see much, much more of that. So, yeah, we agree with you. We think that that just seems like a natural progression for those of us that have been around long enough to understand it and appreciate it. And we've just pressed play on that.
Mm-hmm. One more question before we move on to talk about where Best Ever is going. As you may know, one of Prime Video's newest hit series is Daisy Jones and the Six, about the rock band with Riley Keough. We had the showrunner of that program on our program several weeks ago. There's now talk that the actors might reunite for a tour and maybe go into a second season. Any thoughts about perhaps because Freebie is owned by Amazon, which runs Prime Video, maybe a tie-in through the channel?
It's funny. I just finished watching that show, and I loved it. I'm a musician. I love television. There's everything that was telling me, why shouldn't I shouldn't really like this show. It's the kind of thing that just feels too perfect. And actually, it's a beautiful show. The last episode was amazing. And I see no reason why Amazon and the production company behind this would not put this band out on tour. I think that it was based on a literary property, so a second season might be an odd one. But I think that being able to extend the brand and be out there and put this band on tour and maybe create content about that, that does become its own show. And I could tell you that Freebie, recognizing that Spin is already on the on the platform, if you will, they would certainly be promoting it during commercial breaks, because we've got viewers that, or certainly a subset of viewers that would go there. Who knows? I mean, these type of things absolutely have an organic way of finding their way into editorial. And as long as the music was credible and it was put together in the right way, I'm certain there could be some kind of conversation, to your point, Simon.
If you have questions, our remaining minutes with our duo from Best Ever Channels, now making the Spin Magazine television service available through Amazon Freebie, which started last week. We're talking about Jonathan Mubara and Barry Gordon. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up for the top of the hour, classic trivia question segment, brand new winner. We'll give you the winner, the answer to the question, and a brand new question with prize in play. That's all coming your way, coming up before the top of the hour. Jonathan or Barry, your company is one of a number of organizations over the last couple of years that have become major players in terms of their own multi-channel bundles. Cinedigm, Trusted Media Brands, your company. On Friday, we're going to have the entrepreneur behind Tri-Coast Worldwide, which already has two services on the air, maybe doing more. What are you doing in terms of trying what's next for Best Ever? And also, is there a possibility that you might show up at the DigitalCon to New Fronts, do an upfront event here in New York, that would give you more publicity, more notoriety with the press and with the public?
So what's up is that we are creating more and more original programming for, well, first for Spin and Wits, the comedy channel, but we are also going to get heavily behind our health, wealth, and wisdom channels as well. The Cinema Libre, which is all cause-based documentaries and films, very, very powerful films, films that you know, a lot of people have seen and that people want to see again. But we also have More You, which is we have an original reality series with Ray Higdon, who is a life coach to millions of people, really. And he's created a reality program that is play to win. So rather than having people, you know, cut each other's throats on television, in so many words, you have people basically collaborating and competing in a positive way to see how they can better themselves, better their lives, better the people that they work with. So we're planning a lot of original content there as well, which, again, you don't see in the streaming media platforms for the moment. And so that's how we are.
I think it would be fair
ourselves
to say, John, that our spirit is to focus on the key verticals where we do see ourselves being able to really be, you know, in this space, one of the absolute top brands, whether it be music, wellness and health and lifestyle, which is More You and Commune, and Wits with comedy. And one of the things that we can share with you is together a funding mechanism for original content and feature films that can emanate from the Wits Network, very similar to, you know, Comedy Central Studios. These will be a little bit larger productions, but they'll be made to work in tandem with the larger carriage partners. Because we have the ability to do it, as Jonathan says, we have the production facilities at Source, and now we've got financing for that. The other thing that is also coming our way with these particular verticals in health and wellness, comedy, and music, it does attract lots of ad advertisers. And we're also putting together the final touches on our first ad-sponsored content deal for Wits, which we expect will then follow up with Spin. So the advertisers are starting to look at these new types of channels, provided they can generate audience, as a way of bringing, you know, new ways of spending into the ecosystem that goes beyond traditional programmatic. So that's something that we're also excited about. And with the three, you know, key verticals in health and wisdom, comedy, and music, we just see expanding on that because the audience doesn't have its number one player that we believe at this point. It's got a lot of people in the space or some people in the space, but nobody's putting as much original content currently and building, you know, towards putting even more than Beck and our partners.
Yeah. Final question, actually a two-parter. Are there any new channel proposals that you're getting that you see coming to life through Best Ever before the year is out or early 2024? And secondly, you've also got The Grid, which is the African-American channel. Do you see a role for The Grid to play with original programming, whether it's scripted, unscripted, in terms of differentiating it from everybody else in the African-American channel market, which looks like it's becoming very, very hot because of the interest by advertisers in funding, especially networks that are owned by African-Americans as well as other communities of color?
Carl Jackson is a force of nature. He's already a prolific producer, director. He's now acting as well, but he's already making original content and has figured out how to window it first, get himself minimum guarantees, do a lot of his own AVOD distribution, and then we share distribution with Carl on the grid. Carl puts it on certain platforms, and then we work on others. We're looking at ways to bring Carl into more productions for both Wits and for Spin and the others that we're doing. It's just about finding the right moment and getting up there. But we see it as an opportunity because he is so talented, and he is somebody who has got more to share. And we're looking out for opportunities that we can utilize his skills and his creativity for our other networks as well. The same way that we put comedy from Wits onto Spin, we absolutely see, and continuing to provide a reciprocal relationship and even a more robust one with productions with the grid as well.
And do you see new channel proposals coming your way, whether they're in the current genres of content you're in or in a different content genre that you see some potential for?
Jonathan, can we grab that?
Yeah, we're entertaining pitches all the time. One of the things that's really key to for us in entertaining any of those opportunities is to find genres that have an avid or subject matter that has an avid fan base, because we believe that, first of all, reaching that fan base is important, but we want to involve the fan base in everything that we do from a marketing perspective. And so, every channel that we've launched so far can qualify in that way. And so when we're looking at additional channels, we're looking for the same thing. Whether it's horror or, for example, we launched Trailers from Hell since the last time we spoke, I believe. And Trailers from Hell just, with Joe Dante, as a host, just has a ton of viewership. I mean, people really love to watch filmmakers talking about film. And see their favorite film trailers and sometimes films, we've put films on there as well, being curated by the filmmakers. Again, curation is really an important part of what we're doing as well. So those are kind of what we're looking for with new channels. We have nothing to announce at the moment, but we're definitely looking at categories beyond, our three pillars as well as within those.
One more time, the latest channel from Best Ever Channel, dealing with the wonderful content from Spin Magazine, now running on Amazon Freevee, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices and in multi-channel bundle, and also soon on other smart TV set devices bundles as well in the weeks and months ahead. More details about the Spin service and all the services that Best Ever Channels carry through smart TV sets and devices, feel free to go online, Best Ever Channels, that's all one phrase, BestEverChannels.com. It's BestEverChannels.com. Jonathan Mavaro, Barry Gordon. Woo, thinking about somebody else for a moment. A little bit of a brain flash. Jonathan, Barry, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting the Spin service off the ground, and hopefully much, much more to come this year and way beyond.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Simon. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jonathan, Barry. Take care. Have a super week ahead.
Thank you.
Cheers.
John Mavaro, Barry Gordon, joining us live from Palm Springs, California. Now time for our classic trivia thing before the top of the hour, and we have a brand new winner for you. Our first one in several weeks. It's Mike Sam, Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. Edward Deeds by name from Detroit, Michigan. I believe it's our first classic trivia winner from that Motor City, also home of Motown. Edward, congratulations. Edward heard our Rewarded TV episode a week ago today, and then got the question in and the answer in email before the weekend. And he, for doing our winning answer deal, he's going to win two books, Seven Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by Roland Perez, the American Health Journal host, and The Ten Commandments of Comedy by the wonderful and late Emmy Award-winning writer, creator of the, or producer of the Fierce Company, cut of the Cal Connection and others, The Ten Commandments of Comedy, Gene Perrette. Congratulations, Edward Deeds, Detroit, Michigan. Here with the question and the answer. What 1964 NBC sitcom featured an original theme song by the Beach Boys? The answer was Karen. Originally, it was part of a 90-minute block from Universal Television called 90 Bristol Court, where each half hour dealt with a certain family or person living in the same apartment complex. Right after Karen, which was the leadoff of 90 Bristol Court, was Harris Against the World, Jack Klugman's first sitcom before he did The Odd Couple with Tony Randall. So once again, Karen was the only, by the way, theme that the Beach Boys ever did for a television series. That was the answer to our classic trivia question. Edward Deeds, Detroit, Michigan. You got two book prizes coming your way. Here's our new question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win a very interesting prize, two NBC Universal notepads. That's two NBC Universal notepads. And here is the question. Name the 1994 USA Network series adapted from novels by the star of Star Trek, William Shatner. Name the 1994 USA Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're from. First with your answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. In order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. And we have time. We'll repeat the question before we leave you before the top of the next hour. Coming up, we have a star-packed, big, super hour in store for you. Coming up, we've got, in a few moments, Matt Weissman, the co-creator executive producer of American Dad, premiering its latest 18th season tonight on TBS. And then, at the bottom of the hour, Courtney Kang from Doogie Kamahaloha, MD. Get to all of that after we pause, after the top of the hour, for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, listening to over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Coming your way, remember, it's going to be Word on the Streets tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's Word on the Streets tonight on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Remember, best speech arts coming your way always at YouTube.com. Welcome into our second hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this final Monday of March 2023. Welcome to all of you just joining us at the top of the hour. So happy you did. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 51 degrees and cloudy here in the Big Apple at the top of the hour. We got a wonderful 60 minutes in store for you. Coming your way at the bottom of the hour, Courtney Kang, creator and executive producer of Doogie Kamahaloha, MD, starting its second season Friday on Disney+. And right now, joining us live in an internet radio solicitor from Los Angeles, the co-creator and executive producer of American Dad, starting season 18 tonight on TBS, Matt Weissman. Matt, welcome in. And hold on for one moment. We'll get him aboard. There we go. Matt, welcome in. It's great to have you.
Oh, thank you. Do you ever take a breath? Wow. Impressive.
Like right now. Yeah. I do. Thanks for the thought.
Matt, thank you for having me.
You're just so pumped by having people like you on. It's just amazing. And we really appreciate you taking the time to make this happen, Matt. And, yes, I'll try to take some deep breaths in between what you're saying. So talk about getting season 18 off the ground tonight on TBS.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about it. You know, we have another season. It's going to be a fun, crazy episode where we see the time that Roger lands on Earth. So this is going to be fantastic. It's a version of that. Let's call it that because. We've established, Roger landed on Earth like very long time ago, and then went away, and then now he's returned. So this is the initial time that Roger lands on Earth. So this is going to be very exciting for the fans, and I hope that they like it.
And if you have a question or a comment for Matt, make a call 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open for business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, our super fan from Philadelphia. Rick Webb has been in the room most of our show so far, and he's still there. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you get involved. That's SimonApple04 by name, and the room is at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Matt, why do you think American Dad has joined The Simpsons and Family Guy as being, and Bob's Burgers, as being the longest running programs of its kind on television?
A lack of good taste by everybody in the world, I guess. I think that, as far as American Dad goes, though, I mean, I think that we tell funny stories, but in the end, I think that our family is, you know, they love each other, and even though they do a lot of crazy things to each other, in the end, I think that the heart that we try to instill in our characters is kind of comes across. And even though there's some insanity that goes on, I think that people appreciate the fact that even despite all the things that our characters do to and for each other, that in the end they're there for each other.
And
also we do, and we do a lot of fart jokes.
You do a lot of what?
Fart jokes.
Ah, that's the big secret, right?
Yep, that's the secret.
Hopefully in fair taste. Leave it there. Here's the thing, though. Given this is season 18, what keeps you and Seth MacFarlane and your fellow producer Mike Barker and everybody involved in making this show? What about exploring, even at this stage of the show's run, what is going on with the character, particularly Stan Smith, the super CIA agent, the American dad here? What about what layers of his character, his family, his surrounding environment is like left to mine for plots, for comedy?
Well, I think there's still always a lot of things that we uncover in our characters in terms of attitude or their path that we didn't realize before. And also we're, exploring more side characters that we wouldn't, that people are, happy with, people like Principal Lewis. I think there's always elements that we can play with that people can go, oh my God, I had no idea. Or there's always things that because we're growing our universe and, we've had stories in the past that don't even deal with our family, like the story with Snot and Barry. And, we have characters that are interesting that I think that people keep on tuning into and finding out what their what's going to happen with them and finding out more about everybody. But, I just think that, it's Roger is a fantastic character that has so many layers and, finding out more about, whether it be finding out more about his personas or how he all the insanity that he brings. But I just think that there's a lot of that shockingly, even after all this time, that we still feel that the show has enough freshness and a little and enough characters that we find that let's find out more about this area of this character. Let's find out what we have episodes. We have Santa coming up in some future episodes. We find out that Stan's romantic lobe has been removed by the CIA because they want him to be all killing machines. And he discovers that it's been stuck in a CIA printer, and then he takes the printer home in order to woo Francine. I mean, we do weird shows, but in the end, they're mostly grounded in, a heartfelt or like to think that it's a semi-real nature and that people can relate to. But, we just take things – we like to take, real issues that people deal with and then turn them on their ear, and, it seems to work.
Mm-hmm. When you and Seth – and by the way, Seth also, in addition to voicing the main character, Stan, he also voices Roger too, for those that have never seen the show before. When both of you were creating American Dad nearly two decades ago, what was the inspiration? Or was there any, characters you had seen in other animated shows that inspired this character? For example, when I watch American Dad, two characters I think of, one is Roger Ramjet. Remember that from the 1960s, he had the great cool theme song, Roger Ramjet is our man, hero to our name, et cetera, et cetera. But also, he was like this superhero that always got himself into crazy escapades and just was able to save the day in the craziest way. And also, Dudley Do-Right. The Mountie from the Rocky and his Friends, the Bullwinkle Show mm-hmm. cartoons. They seem to have like the same jaw, the same sort of a certain kind of animation style and character development. So I was wondering if any of the classic cartoons of that nature inspired American Dad, or
It wasn't really, this is kind of been told, but it wasn't really an animated show that inspired American Dad. It was All in the Family, where Seth had the idea of doing an updated version of it, and instead of, he'll have a right-wing father and a left-wing daughter and the problems that occur as a result of it. But in this case, they also had an alien living with them. And a talking goldfish. So I mean, mostly the idea came from, you know, the state of the world, especially when we were doing it at the time, that there was the world was in chaos. But on the other hand, the world is constantly in chaos. But the idea was kind of, you know, poking fun at both the right and the left, and seeing what comes of it. And so, but as time has gone on, our show has evolved to one where we don't really deal with the political elements so much anymore, as much as, you know, more family, social, family dynamics that everybody can more so relate to, as opposed to, you know, talking about, you know, liberal versus conservative, which gets a little tired.
Mm-hmm. Given the All in the Family nature, did you or Seth ever hear from Norman Lear, the person who developed All in the Family?
Not to my awareness. We have not heard from him, but maybe it is possible that somewhere along the line Seth had run into Norman and talked to him, but I have yet to do that.
Still
I think I'm running out of time.
And the man just keeps on keeping on. He's got lots of he's doing an animated version of Good Times, not to mention other projects,
yeah.
And he just seems to just be an incredible human being.
Yeah, no doubt. No. I mean, it's jaw-dropping how well he's, you know, weathered the world and, you know, and been continues to stay on top of his game. So, you know, I wish that on everybody. Maybe it's the hat.
Could be. I just saw a recent shot of him over the weekend, and he's got the hat on. He was working on a project, and so he took time off and got a shot. It was I saw it on the web, on a website, and he's got that hat, and it works beautifully.
It really does. I guess you know that's the secret. That's really the secret of longevity, is getting a good hat.
Mm-hmm. And wearing it good. Both get the hat and then make sure it wears beautifully. Matt Weissman is our very special guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is the co-creator with Seth MacFarlane and executive producer of American Dad. Tonight, season 18 begins on CBS, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. If a question or comment for Matt, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And remember, coming your way on our second of three episodes this week, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our lead guest will be the person that put Whose Line Is It Anyway on the map, first in England, and then here in the USA, first on ABC, and then currently on the CW, Dan Patterson. His latest project, another in the comedy vein, The Great American Joke Off. It premieres, that's J-O-K-E, off, and it premieres later this week on the CW. Dan Patterson, my lead guest on Tomorrow Be Televised, our next episode, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. When you start a new season, you and Seth, everybody involved, particularly in the writer's room, what kind of things do you deal with in terms of how you plot the season? Do you plot a season in advance off the bat, or do you sort of, here's the first couple of episodes, and then we'll see how things gel?
There's no one way. We don't really plot a series arc, though. You know, we're pretty episodic. Every episode pretty much stands alone. So it's been working that way. So we just kind of decided to continue like that. As far as, you know, what we come into it, you know, everybody will come in, all the writers come in with ideas of episodes that they want to work on. And, you know, whatever we first gravitate towards is, you know, generally the one that we kick off with, or we think that it'll be a good beginning to the season. I mean, we have a lot of episodes that we have each season, 22, which is, you know, especially a lot in this day and age, thank goodness. So we just kind of take it as it comes. And, you know, writers have things going on in their lives, and we try to, you know, milk those and nurture those and see if they can be used for storylines in our own show. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But, you know, oftentimes what happens in, you know, with what's going on in our real lives ends up getting reflected in the show. Or, you know, sometimes it's just about wanting to explore a certain character or a certain dynamic between two characters that we haven't really seen very much of. And, see how they play out. But there's no one way of starting out a season, but we don't necessarily do, you know, the season arc of, you know, things end up like becoming, you know, you look at the, you look at it overall and you see, oh wait, then we end up like doing so many science fiction shows this season. So, you know, you just think, wow, so it's not become what our show, what this season becomes. But, you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, there's, like I said, you know, a lot of times the writers come in with stories and we just kind of say, oh yeah, that's great, let's do that. And, you know, that's mostly how it comes. And then all the writers kind of chip in and encourage and, you know, see where it takes them.
Mm-hmm. What paths are the writers taking this season? What is inspiring them in terms of individual episodes?
Well, this coming, you know, we have a lot of episodes. You know, we're doing a multiverse episode. At one point, Francine, the mom, is going to become this like crazy famous artist. Also, we have a spoof on Fantastic Voyage, where Francine goes inside Stan in order to save a CIA agent. We have a Halloween episode where the family dresses up as the Scooby-Doo gang, and then they end up getting thrown into a mystery that they have to solve. What else? Klaus, the fish, gets a girlfriend, and it turns Ooh. Out that she is a wraith, you know, one of those sexy ghosts. What else are we doing? I mean, we're doing a bunch of just for our audience so that they know what to prepare for. So I think we're going to be airing like 11 episodes from here until, you know, in a row. And then I think they're taking a break and they'll be back in September. So just to prepare anybody who, you know, is interested. What other, you know, like I said, we have an episode of Principal Lewis and Steve where these guys are going to come and bomb the school. And so Steve and Principal Lewis have to try to stop them. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot. We have we have a Christmas episode where Santa is back you may or may not know that Santa is not a good guy in our world. So, we've done him in a number of episodes and he'll be back this year. And I don't want to necessarily tell the twist at the end, but, it's definitely something that I think our audience is going to have a lot of fun watching, because we're kind of known for, you know, we always try to step up our episodes as far as Christmas goes, and this one will do that too. What else? You know, I mean, it's 22 episodes, so we've got a lot for people to enjoy, and God knows, I hope they do, because, you know.
Has anybody proposed the Metaverse episode where Stan has to deal with NFTs and digital tokens and cryptocurrency?
Not yet. No, haven't dealt with that one. You know, but if you have something in mind, I'm happy to hear stories. Again, we're doing season 18. We're completely running out of ideas. So if you have some ideas, so I'll put that on the list.
All right, listeners, you have gotten your marching orders. Contact Matt and at the company where he or TBS and go from there. Talk about the goldfish, Krauss. Klaus, he must be the most popular goldfish in animated television. Certainly, in terms of underwater creatures, he must be giving SpongeBob SquarePants and his crusty crew a run for their money. And he's also got a wonderful voice actor. And we all know Dee Bradley Baker. We know him as Olmec on Legend of the Hidden Temple, the announcer on Shop to Your Drop, where Pat Finn would always go in the bonus round, to where, mm-hmm. Dee, and so forth.
Yeah.
What's it like working with him? And he just keeps on keeping on.
Yeah, no, Dee is he's an unbelievable person and an amazing actor. I mean, the things that he's able to do with his mouth, that sounds dirty, and it's also true. But the point is that he does. I mean, if you don't even know it, you know that show Peacemaker, you know, with what's his face.
John Cena.
So he's also the eagle in he's Eagly in that show, which is crazy. But he does an amazing amount of creature voices, monster voices, animals, in addition to a plethora of, just characters that he's done between our show and every other show in the world. But also his attitude is just so fantastic. He's just, he's always saying yes. He'll do whatever it takes, and he does it like just spot on. It's like, oh my gosh, I could not ask for that to be any better than what he gives us every time. So, I'm just, feel grateful to have D on our show. I mean, that goes for the whole cast, but you're talking about D. So, yeah, D is fantastic. And talk about Sam Hootie, who also, keeps on going. He's been doing it for a long time and shows no sign of stopping. So, D is fantastic and, able and ready and willing to do anything it takes. And he seems to be enjoying it because he seems to be – he always laughs as he – while he's performing our show. So he – at least I'm glad to know that he's having a good time doing it. So, and I think that comes across.
I believe we have a caller that is trying to get on the line, so get on the line right now. So we're grateful the caller is on, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Smart Be Televised. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, Simon, it's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Our super fan from that wonderful city of brotherly love. Go ahead, you're on with Matt.
Hey, Matt. First, congrats on 18 years of the show. Second, I have a quick comment on the show for you.
Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
I don't know what – what's that?
No, I'm just joking.
Did you hear my
here it comes.
Sound effect?
Yes.
But anyhow, see, that's the first time I got to use that whoopee cushion on the air. But but my real question is now that, there's so much talk about AI in the animation business, I'm wondering, how do you guys animate the show, whether it's hand-drawn or software or whatnot, and whether you think, mm-hmm. AI will be something in the future that will be used either on your show or other shows?
Well, I think that, first of all, we still hand-draw stuff. We don't draw things on paper. All of our artists draw literally on a computer screen, but it's still all hand-drawn. So,
wow.
they can make adjustments and so forth, and which is, makes things easy, but, everything you see is hand-drawn. And then as far as the future goes, it's, exciting and terrifying. I think that eventually it's going to, encroach on all of our lives in every element, so there's no reason to think that it won't be doing that here, and I'm sure that in some ways people will take advantage of it because, money-wise, it'll be cheaper than doing it with real human beings. But I think that we're a little ways away from that, at least I hope so. I don't see it happening on our show anytime soon. So, I think that you're right that it'll eventually be there, but not in the next several years.
Cool. Yeah, I figured if any show would use it or just have AI write an episode and draw whatever that came up, it might be your show. So,
right.
So
well, there was that. It's almost that version of South Park there where they poke fun at Family Guy when they use the manatees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's almost that version, but with the AI. You're right. I mean, no. Right now we still have humans. Coming up with all of our material, but I'm always if we know of a really good computer that's really funny, I'll also hire him.
Well, great to know. Well, keep up the great work, Matt, and congrats on season 18.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Rick.
Cool, and thanks, Alan.
You're very welcome, Rick. Before you go, thank you for the question on artificial intelligence, because it is having an impact on other aspects of television. For example, smart TV sets and smart devices now have artificial intelligence built in. So if you want to use Siri or Alexa or Google Assistant, rather than use a speaker, you just do it with your voice for the television set. We're going to do a commentary either this week or next week at the latest about the pro and con of AI in television and where it might go. So thank you, Rick, for the question. And as always, thanks for being a great super fan.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome. Take care. Rick Rucker, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And before you go, Matt, talk more about Francine, Wendy Shaw, the actress who plays that character. Is she the person who played the daughter of Mr. Rourke, Ricardo Montalban, in Fantasy Island? And if so, did she ever talk about that experience?
Not a whole – she doesn't talk about it a whole lot, but yeah, that definitely is her. I mean, she's been on lots of stuff between – The Burbs and Inner Space, and you know she's been fantastic for us, and you know she doesn't really talk about too much about her time as Mr. Rourke's daughter. I think, but you know she's been you know really truly a blessing, and the reason why you know we ended up getting her, Seth I think had a crush on her since The Burbs, and so he felt like he needed to have her on the show, and he was right. And so we ended up having this fantastic, beautiful woman as our show, and, you know, she kind of really owns Francine and all of her craziness and knows how to sell a joke, and it's just fantastic to have her around. I mean, I'm, you know, she's wonderful.
And when it comes to Roger the Alien, you mentioned at the top of the conversation that he's coming back in this opening episode tonight. Has there been a lot of groundswell for among the fans for his for Roger's return? And if so, what do they think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, you're gonna have to tune in to find out where all this happened. But you know, as far as groundswell, I think that the writers themselves were kind of curious to know, you know, how this all started out. So the two guys who wrote this episode, Robert Maitia and Brett Cawley, like had an idea for how to kick it off, and we all said yes. And so it was just something that the writers themselves were asking. So while there are times when I have taken other people's ideas from like Comic-Con or something, and I've grabbed you know, people have had ideas like want to know about Barry's parents, etc. But in this case, it was more, you know, within our own show where the idea blossomed.
The 18th season of American Dad premieres tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TBS. Check your local where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. And by the way, it's not just on at 10 p.m., but you'll see episodes throughout the weekly schedule on that channel. And for more details about the service online, go to www.tbs.com. That's www.tbs.com. Season 18 of American Dad. It's on tonight on TBS, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Matt Weissman, thank you very much for taking time out of the premiere day to be with us. It's been a pleasure all the way. Congratulations to you and Seth and everybody involved, cast and crew, on the 18 great years and hopefully much, much more to come starting tonight.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been fun being on this. And, yeah, everybody check it out, and hope you all like it.
All right, I'm sure they will. Take care. Enjoy the premiere and a wonderful season ahead.
All right, thank you so much. Bye now.
You got it. Matt Weissman, co-creator with Seth MacFarlane, executive producer of American Dad, joining us live from L.A. When we come back, we will be joined by the creator and executive producer of the hit Disney Plus series, Doogie Kamealoha, Kamealoha, MD, Courtney Kang. She will join us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, coming your way every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern, San Pacific on BTR. It's the January Jones Show. It's a show that's all about empowering people, especially women. The January Jones Show, catch it tomorrow and every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this big two-hour Monday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you've been with us. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour. Simon Amell with you live from New York, 52 degrees and great guys here in the Big Apple at the bottom of the hour. Happy you're with us. We have another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. If you have a question or comment for her, only use the chat room. That's only the chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtoway.com/televised. We kicked off our program today with the writer of Prom Pact, which is the program written. It's an original movie on Disney Channel, happening Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Friday on Disney Plus. It was written by Anthony Bardo and stars Peyton Lee, who also is the star of the hit Disney Plus program, Doogie Kamahaloha, M.D., the show that was inspired by the great, iconic Stephen Boschko classic, Doogie Howser, M.D. Well, this Doogie premieres its second season this Friday, March 31st, on Disney Plus. And joining us live in an internet radio exclusive, the creator and executive producer, Courtney Kang. Courtney, great to have you with us.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And boy, you are very busy. From what I understand from Anthony Lombardo, who was with the top of the program, you consulted on his movie as well as getting season two together.
I did. And he is a fabulous writer. It was great to work with him. And yes, you know, the star of his movie, Peyton Elizabeth Lee, is the lead in the show that I created and run on Disney Plus. And so, yeah, it was great to be able to work with him and thinking about Peyton. And yeah, it was really great working with him.
I'll ask the same question I started off Amphi's conversation with you as well, Courtney. What's going through your head getting ready to get season two off the ground this Friday?
The thing that's going through my head is I'm so excited to finally have it out in the world. You know, we work so hard sometimes as writers. You know, you're in your own little room plugging away, and then we had a great team of writers that we all worked on it together, and then you give it over to the cast and directors, and they put their stamp on it, as well as the crew and the post-production team, the editors get put their stamp on it. We've all been working so hard on it. And now this is the exciting part where we get to share it with the world. So we're really excited.
How did the idea of translating Doogie Howser, Stephen Boschko's creation, and bring it not only with a different spin, but in a contemporary environment to viewers?
That first came about, there was a wonderful producer named Melvin Marr who works with Jake Kasdan, who is a fantastic director. He directed our pilot for the Doogie Show, and he also directed, you know, you might know his name from, he directed the new Jumanji movies and Orange County and the TV set and some fabulous films. It was Melvin's idea to take the Stephen Boschko property and how do we sort of reinvigorate it. And it was his idea to put an Asian girl at the center of it. And so then he called me up and was like, I have this great idea. And I was like, well, how is it an Asian girl? Like, is she related to the old Doogie? Like, you get Neil Patrick Harris? How does this make any sense? And he was like, yeah, you figure it out, you know, like a producer often does. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It just sort of feels disjointed. And then I started thinking about it, and I had the thought, what if you made it so that the girl is just a 16-year-old doctor, and Doogie is her nickname. And it's a nickname she hates because she's like, I don't know what that show is. I was like from the 90s. I wasn't even born yet. And then I got really excited because I was like, oh, and you can set it in Hawaii because I am originally from there. And I got really excited about all the sort of local folks that could populate the show. And I really sort of started to fall in love with that idea. And so I pitched it to those guys, and they loved it, and the studio and network loved it. And so we were off to the races. And the thing that I was sort of excited about was, I think sometimes when you're rebooting things, and there's so many things that are being rebooted, and audiences, I think, are – you know, there's become audiences, I don't want to say they're tiring of it, but they're familiar with the idea. It's how do you reboot it, but in a way that's sort of fresh, or what's your take on it? And so once we had the idea that Doogie is just her nickname, but it wasn't connected to that show in any real way, like that our show exists in the real world that we all live in. Doogie Howser is just a show from the 90s. It sort of freed us up to put our own stamp on it.
So how does this reinvigoration evolve with this second season episodes? What directions do we take, not just the character, but what she deals with? Because obviously she has grown up since the first season.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the season one of any show, I think, is very much about figuring out how the car drives, like where you want to go for stories, what are the strengths, what are the strengths of your actors, what are the strengths of your writers, and really figuring out what notes are the best ones for you to play. And so we were so lucky in that our cast is so strong, our writers are so strong, that we had a lot of choices. And so season one is very much about sort of proving your concept. You know, we really were focused on, we need the audience to believe she really is a doctor. We need the audience to believe this really is a family. We needed the audience to understand this is what life is like in Hawaii. And so once we sort of established that trust, it sort of, season two gives us the opportunity, you know, to put our foot on the gas a little bit more and have a little bit more fun with it. And so season two, we are very much leaning into a love triangle for Lahela. And we're leaning into the fact of that she's a teenage girl. And, you know, one of the fun things of our show is it's very much about how being a teenage doctor complicates her life as a teenager and how being a teenager complicates her life as a doctor. And I think there's something very universal in that idea that we all wear multiple hats. You know, I run this show and I'm a writer and a producer and a director, but I also have three kids. I'm a mom. And so what makes my life so great is I get to do both. But by doing both, it makes both more challenging and both more rewarding. And so, you know, I think in any sort of writing work thing you put out there, what always appeals to me is finding some real truth in it, or what's your way into it, or what is it you're exploring. And so for me, you know, even though I'm writing about a 16-year-old doctor who's a teenager, the themes of how do you balance all these things, how do you be the best person you can be at work and at home and to your friends and the people who need you, is very true to my own experience.
We're speaking with Courtney Kang. She is the creator, executive producer, showrunner, writer, director, et cetera, of the hit Disney Plus series Doogie Kamaaloha MD, starring Peyton Lee. We're going to talk about Peyton and how she has grown in this role shortly. And our guest joins us live from Los Angeles. By the way, where are you calling us from? I didn't say that. Are you calling from L.A. or somewhere else in California?
Yes, I am calling from L.A.
Good. Got that correcto. So you have a question or comment for our guest, use the chat room. Chat room only for this time around. That's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. First of three episodes we're doing this week on Tamaki Televised. We'll wrap up the month and our third episode on Friday. And our first hour will be dealing with not one, but two female entrepreneurs who are launching new channels. First up, Marcy Hamilton. She is the chief executive officer of her own production company, Tri-Coast Worldwide, and they've already got two, not one, two television services on the air, the latest being Made It Myself Television, out to be the new DIY service. That's our first half hour. Second half hour, you'll meet the founder of ProfileSport.tv, Diana Wilson. It started as a website and a mobile site or mobile app. Now, starting last week, it's a television service. They have on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. Marcy Hamilton and Diana Wilson, two of the growing female entrepreneurs launching new television networks for the smart TV set device medium. That's coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So, Courtney, talk about working with Peyton Lee, who has become one of Disney Channel and Disney Plus's wonderful young stars. Andy Mack, other things too, and, of course, the movie we talked about at the top of the program, Front Pack. She is really coming into her own as a terrific actress and artist. How does she evolve, both character and person, in this second season?
Yes, Peyton is such an impressive young woman. She is so smart. You know, the actors always joke that in the makeup and hair trailer, as they're all getting ready, you know, actors who are, you know, nearly twice her age will be working on their lines, trying to memorize them, and they'll stumble trying to remember them. And Peyton will immediately call back their line. She knows everyone's line. She knows the script in and out. And she has such a love for what she does, which is infectious. You know, I always say that the people who get to make TV shows and movies were the luckiest people ever. And Peyton shares that. She is, being on set is like one of her favorite places. And, you know, so she came to us so correct and just so ready to work. And it's been really wonderful to see, you know, when we cast her, she was 16. And, you know, as we were shooting season two, she turned 18. And so, you know, to see her sort of blossom from a young lady who needs, you know, legally has to have a parent on set or a guardian, into a woman who can come and go and drive herself around, it's been really wonderful to see. And just her work, as she's gotten to know this character more, the work has become deeper, and she's just so talented, and we're so lucky to have her.
Where do you film in Hawaii?
We film right on the island of Oahu, where, you know, Honolulu is and Waikiki. We shoot there, and we shoot all over the island. And it's been, we have a mostly local crew. We have a lot of local department heads. And it's a real labor of love, everyone who works on the show. You know, a lot of the crew there works on more procedural stuff, like Magnum PI or Hawaii 5-0. And so, but we're, I think, the only family show or half-hour show that shoots on the island. And so the local folks and the local crew that we work with have really enjoyed being able to tell the stories of a real family that lives there. You know, a lot of times in those other hour-long procedurals, there really isn't the room for that. And so it's been really great for all of us to sort of showcase this is what a local family is like, because there, I don't think there's been another one on TV like that.
What's it like for you to wear so many hats and figure, like, when am I a writer on this episode, or where am I director, or where am I producer, and, you know, and plus showrunner and executive producer for the whole set of episodes? How do you sort of work the balance of going into so many hats or taking it, you know, so many directions where, let's say, for one episode you have to play director, another episode you're playing the writer, another, and so on and so forth?
Right. I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think the titles are all, you know, very fancy and nice, but at the end of the day, I think it's really about folks as the showrunner and the creator of the show. Folks are looking to me to what's the vision? Like, what is the story we're telling at the end of the day? And I think that's the most important thing a good showrunner can do, is know exactly what the North Star is. You know, we've all sort of been in experiences, or even in my own writing or working on shows, where you kind of lose the thread and you're like, wait, what am I saying? Like, what's this about? And so I think my job is to always beat the drum of, this is the story we're telling. And then once we know that, then everybody can make decisions that best support that story. And then they can build on it with their own ideas as well. And so I love being a showrunner. You know, I've always been a little bossy. I was the kid when I was playing that it was like, well, it has to be my way. So I, you know, I like, I've always played make-believe games and made up my own little plays and shows. When I was little, I used to make kids in the neighborhood, like, reenact TV commercials, and I would tell them, no, no, you're doing it all wrong. And so to get to do this today is really fun.
It's interesting also that there is a couple of links to Doogie Howser, MD, with your film. For example, two members of the Boschko family, Jesse, who's become a wonderful producer on his own with shows like NYPD Blue, and Dania Boschko are involved as executive producers. And you also, at the beginning, have the wonderful Hawaii flavor version of Mike Post's original theme music to kick things off.
Yes.
And I'm curious, first of all, with the Boschkos, how are they involved, and what kind of inputs do they bring to the table with you and everybody? And secondly, I was curious about the Mike Post reinvigoration of his original tune?
Yes, that's a great question. Jesse and Dana are fantastic. They are producers, and at the start of things, I think they were very much their job was to make sure that whatever new version of this Doogie show that we created was in line with what the great Stephen Bochco had created and was something that he could hopefully be proud of and give his blessing to. And so they didn't take that lightly. And so it was great when, you know, I was able to meet with them and pitch them my take. They were 100% supportive. It's also fun for me because I went to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, which is basically a drama school. And I was in the School of Drama, and Stephen Bochco went to Carnegie Mellon. And so he was always in those halls referenced and talked about, you know, the great Stephen Bochco. And so it was really nice to sort of have the opportunity to sort of help continue his legacy in this way. And so it was great. You know, they were such a great resource of what the original was. And it was really lovely of them. They sort of entrusted me to take it and run and to make it my own. And then in doing so, Jesse, who was a producing director on the show, directed multiple episodes, came, and he's so great. The cast loved him, and it was really great to be able to work with him on specific episodes and, you know, continue along on the journey. A fun fact is the original Doogie Howser show, the bedroom is based on Jesse's bedroom as a kid. He was like a 13-year-old kid at the time. And Stephen Bochco said to the art director, come over, take pictures of my son's bedroom. That's what Doogie's room should look like. And so that room was built exactly like Jesse's room. And on our show, Lahela's room, Doogie's room on our show, my 13-year-old daughter, we took pictures of her room. And it's not the exact room, but she very much had a lot of say in what that room should have. And there's twinkle lights that all the girls have on TikTok and these vines that hang down. And so it's sort of a fun tradition of the show that both of the rooms were designed after our children's rooms. And I joke that 20 years from now, when someone else reboots this, I hope that they continue that tradition.
And how about the Mike Post theme song? By the way, has Mike Post commented about his new reinvigorated theme?
Yes, it was so great. It's funny, when I pitched the show, it was part of my pitch. I said, we're going to put it the Doogie Howser show, but it's with a local family set in Hawaii, and the theme song is going to be the same theme song, but it's played on a ukulele. And it was part of the pitch from the very first go. And we were very lucky. We got Jake Shimabukuru, who's a fantastic, world-renowned ukulele player, to play the theme song and help with that arrangement with our great composer, Wendy Wang. And so they put together this new rendition of it. And I think it's a great calling card for the show. It's something familiar with a little bit of a twist on it, a little bit of like that local Hawaii flair. And so we're so happy with it.
Mm-hmm. So talk about working with Wendy Wang, because Wendy is one of a growing number of Asian American composers who are writing for episodic television. Kung Fu, for example, which has been on the air now for four seasons on the CW, also has a composer who's Asian American. We had her on the program several years ago, it's really nice to see that we're seeing more and more Asian American composers get on board with episodic television.
I couldn't agree more, and Wendy is so fantastic. Her music is so great. She does so much on the show, and really, it really is one of the signatures of the show, I think, is the soundtrack and the music to it. And Wendy is fantastic, and this is the first show that she scored and has composed for, and I think it's a testament to how when you have shows and movies that really highlight groups of people that aren't always highlighted, it creates more opportunities all the way down, because you want to find folks who understand that experience, who can be doing the hair, the makeup, the wardrobe, you know, the set deck, the music. And so it creates opportunities in all sorts of ways. And so Wendy is such a treasure. I am obsessed with her talent. I'm obsessed with her as a person. We are so, so lucky we have her. You know, from the beginning, what Wendy did was we just had her, she read the script before we even shot anything, and she just started writing music. And so it was really great because by the time we had footage, we were already cutting in music that she had written and then sort of fine-tuning it. But she, from the beginning, it was all sort of happening at once, the feel of the show.
Where do you think we stand right now in terms of the roles that Asian Americans are playing in television on all sorts of different levels? It seems that we are seeing more shows that are being produced by Asian Americans, whether or not they have Asian American cast in the lead or not. We're seeing more Asian Americans. We have an Asian American who's now we have an Asian American network, Chime TV, that is run by an Asian American, who we had on the show last fall, and we had or last summer, and we had Bob Rose, the person who works with her, as the president on her show a few weeks ago, and that just launched on Spectrum cable systems and on other cable systems as well 2 months ago, and so far so good. It seems that there has been a corner turned in terms of having a more prominent role of Asian Americans in television. What do you think of the environment right now?
Look, I think it's great. You know, I think it's very telling. This spring, it will be 20 years that I've been a professional writer. The first show, TV show I got staffed on was a failed NBC sitcom that launched in the fall of 2003. And back then, when I was thinking about developing shows and what that would look like, it never occurred to me that they wouldn't be all white people in the shows, because that just didn't happen. There weren't those shows. And so it's so exciting to me to be a part of this new landscape. You know, I worked on How I Met Your Mother for all 9 seasons. And then I went and I was a part of Fresh Off the Boat. And it's really exciting to me that it's changing and that you can tell different stories. And, you know, I think there's still a lot of work to be done in, you know, not just the shows that are being created, but the people who are buying them, the people who really, you know, as Hamilton says, in the room where it happens. Having, you know, folks of color who understand that experience, making choices, I think is important. You know, it's important in all aspects. And so it's really an exciting time for these changes to be taking place.
Mm-hmm. So you see that the movement is really starting to gel, you know, and progress and progress and progress as more shows get on the air, as more networks get on the air. I'm mentioning that we're now seeing more women and women of color create networks that are available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and so forth. And that will open up more doors as time goes on.
Exactly. Exactly what you're saying. Like, you know, having women making these moves, like you're saying, and those women, I'm sure, will be more apt to hear from people who have experiences like them, who are putting women at the forefront or women of color at the forefront of their stories. And I think the next sort of step is that it's happening so often that it's no longer feels like a movement. It's more just what it is. You know, I think sometimes when you're pitching a show, if it's not of a dominant culture or your lead isn't of a dominant culture, no matter what it is, it's the onus is sort of on you to make sure to sell the idea, but everybody can relate to this, but this is for everyone. And it's sort of a handicap that if you're pitching a show about a 27-year-old white guy, there's an understanding that everyone will understand his plight. And that same luxury isn't afforded to, say, a show about a woman of color at the lead or a show about someone who's differently abled at the lead. And so I think as more and more shows have different types of leads and are telling different types of stories, it's just better for everybody who watches TV, because we all want interesting things and interesting points of view and, you know, to a way to look at the human condition in a different way. And it makes the selling of those more possible, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. So while people wait to see how the second season of Doogie goes, are you working on any future projects, any upcoming projects you can talk about?
Yes, you know, this is a really fun time for me because I sort of have a few things in the works that I'm pitching and I'm taking meetings on. And so it's sort of, you know, they're all kind of like my babies. Like I have one baby, the Doogie baby, that season two is about to go out in the world. And then I'm sort of like looking at what's my next baby going to be and, you know, talking to folks and figuring that out, which is really exciting. It's a part that I really enjoy. You know, I'm very lucky because I like all the parts. I like figuring out what I'm doing next. And then I like being on set and actually sort of making the sausage. And then it's also fun to sit back, you know, with a big bowl of popcorn and my friends and be like, ah, we did it. Let's watch it now, you know.
The second season of Courtney's current series, starring Peyton Lee, that's Doogie Kamaaloha, M.D., premieres this Friday, March 31st, on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about the series and the service online, go to www.disneyplus.com. www.disneyplus.com. That's Doogie Kamaaloha, M.D. Season 2 begins this Friday. Courtney Kang, thank you very much for making the time to be with us today. Congratulations to you, Peyton, everybody involved on the second season. Hopefully more to come and more from you to come as well. It's been a delight having you here.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care. All the greatest.
Thank you. Mahalo. Aloha.
Bye-bye. Aloha. You as well. And everybody. Doogie Kamaaloha, M.D., Season 2 begins again this Friday on Disney Plus, and that's Courtney Kang joining us live from Los Angeles, the creator, executive producer, showrunner, writer, director, et cetera, person of all trades, all great trades as well. Thanks to Courtney, and thanks to everybody who was our guest today on this special two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, and all of you for tuning in. We're back on Thursday, and joining us then will be Dan Patterson, the creator and executive producer of Whose Line Is It Anyway on the CW. His latest CW effort is The Great American Joke Off, and it premieres also on Friday as well. He'll be with us on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out all of our episodes this month on podcasts, available on Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and many other great podcast destinations, as well as our website, TomorrowBeTelevised.com. That's TomorrowBeTelevised.com for the fine folks at On Podium. Love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about the future of television, AI or not? Email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. However you get involved, we get involved back with you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. Now say those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Andy Toe is Blake TR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outlook. Scarce Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and a big kickoff to the final week of March 2023. Back on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio speaker at all of our podcasts and website destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and Thursday, please make it safe and make it great for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And remember, be here. Aloha.